Today on Real Radio.
Jesus said, even if you've not committed adultery with your body, if you've thought about it, you're guilty of it. Yeah, that's how God sees. He sees everything, and he sees our hearts. And we want to ask ourselves this morning, are our hearts faithful to him? Are our minds faithful to him? What do I allow up here?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series now through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the first four verses of chapter 11 today. The passage contains a verse that is well known to seasoned believers who've been deceived. Paul warns against falling for a false Jesus, a false spirit, and a false gospel. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a multi-part series called With This Mind.
He says that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Remember again, in Jesus' day, this espousal was a covenant, not a contract. It was not a prenuptial. A contract, listen, can be broken. You read it, you sign it, right? But if you have a good enough attorney, you can break a contract. A covenant, listen, trumps a contract. Do you understand that, everybody? What's greater than a contract? That's easy. Easy answer. Covenant. Marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. You can bring attorneys into the deal, but listen, when you stand before God and you exchange vows, covenant. When you're making promises to one another, covenant. It's not a contract. And God is saying to us, and Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, but it's a picture of us. I'm presenting you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That is covenant talk. And a covenant is always greater than a contract because it deals with matters of the heart and of the will, and it is based in a decision to love. Look at with me carefully, that I may present you, says Paul. Interestingly enough, Paul the Apostle is actually in this statement speaking of exactly the work of the Holy Spirit. Where is Jesus? Now, it's cute. If I ask this in Sunday school, they're all going to go like this. Where's Jesus? They all point to their heart. And that's true. But how is that true? By the Holy Spirit. That's how that's true. You say, where's Jesus? In an adult crowd like this, you'd point to heaven. And that's true too. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he's coming back, I hope, today. But when Paul says, I want to present you, he's speaking of the language of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job, if you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit's job is to get you and I before Jesus on that day. His job is to present you and I to the Lord. And Paul, because thank God his ministry is of the Holy Spirit, he's got that DNA, spiritual DNA, flowing in his blood. And he says, my job is to get the church at California into the presence of Jesus. That's awesome. What a sweet thing that is. And his whole desire is to present them. What does this mean? What is this perfecting and presenting? And it's and for our argument this morning, it's one and the same. Let me put it to you like this. When he says that I may present you regarding this perfecting love of God, it's a pretty cool thing. Help me or watch me act this out if I can. If you have a child or a grandchild in your life, if there's a child in your life that you love, then you will, by your love for them, the nature of your love, you will you not challenge them? Will you sometimes bring them into an environment that is almost even beyond them because they've got to learn how to climb the ladder, so to speak, right? Or they need to go through this issue of learning how to walk through this muddy path without slipping or whatever it might be. You walk them through things that you would think an outsider would say to them, don't do that, don't do that. But as a parent or as a lover of that kid, you are going to make sure that they learn how to deal with hardships. We need to get back to this, church, in our 21st century. We need to teach our children how to suffer well. Why? Will they suffer in life? Yes. But if we're not teaching them how to suffer, and we tell them Jesus loves them, We're telling them a half-truth, honestly. We tell them Jesus loves them, and if we don't prepare them for suffering, they think Jesus loves them as long as things are smooth. But the moment things get rough, they conclude Jesus must not love me. Why? Because things have gotten rough. We need to tell our kids, Jesus loves you, and he also said we're going to have difficulties in life. Teach our children how to suffer. They're going to suffer. Let's prepare them now. That when you suffer, you keep your eyes on Jesus. When you suffer, that's what God's promises are for. When you go through a hard time, this is what you do. Teach them how to suffer. I know this is so contrary to our culture because we want to put our head in the proverbial hole and pretend suffering doesn't happen. But if you love somebody, you prepare them. And Paul is saying, I want to present you to Jesus as a chaste, pure, prepared, absolutely healthy, clean virgin to Christ. And what does he mean by all this? This is an absolutely powerful thing. 1 Corinthians 4:14 says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and that's true for all of us, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. This is awesome. The gospel, when the gospel is preached, what is the gospel? Remember we went through the other few weeks ago? Are you guys with me? Am I doing okay? Are you listening? The gospel is that Jesus Christ, right, came. He came from heaven to earth. Right? He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. And on the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, died on the cross, was buried, rose again from the dead. And that's the gospel. That's all it says in 1 Corinthians 15. That's all it says. This is the gospel. Boom! And it's for us to figure out, oh my goodness, why did he come? The Bible says because we couldn't save ourselves. Why did he die? Because we couldn't pay the price of our own sin. We were in trouble. God who is holy needs an atonement, righteousness for us to be saved. He was buried. What does that mean? Dead. Dead. You mean he passed out? No. Dead. Jesus died. Book of Revelation chapter 1 verses 17 and 18. Jesus died. Rose again from the grave 3 days later, according to the scripture. He rose from the dead. The very thing that you want to know, can hell be broken? Can the grave be conquered? And will I live after I die in this world? The answer is yes. How do you know? Jesus died, rose again from the grave. That's how you know. You take that away, we ain't got nothing as Christians. Look, you take that away, I'm going fishing. I don't fish. That was the wrong word. You take that away, and I'm going to the beach. Jesus died and rose again from the grave. The gospel. And Paul says that's how people are born again into a new family. And that's the great issue. Paul is here confessing to us how seriously committed he is in his ministry life. And from the heart, he's saying to us, my reason for living is to get you into heaven. And this brings us all down to this issue of faithfulness. Will you write down the word faithfulness next to this verse? Verses 2 and 3. Faithfulness. This is what the Lord is asking of us in a relationship. Don't raise your hand, but are you involved in a relationship? Yes. Then faithfulness. Do you ever talk about faithfulness? I don't know if you do or not. I hope not. I hope it's totally implied. Are you in love with somebody? Are you in love with somebody and are they in love with you? If you do, then faithfulness is a big deal. No one has a relationship. Oh, I just love this guy. He's so great. And I think he's fond of me. We're dating, but he's, you know, kind of, he likes a lot of other girls too. Then, hello, wake up. Hello, lady, girl, wake up. You're deceived. Get out of that. Why? There's no faithfulness now. There's not going to be any faithfulness later. Run. Get out of it. Faithfulness is everything. And the Lord is asking us, remember, church. Remember, Californians, you're a spouse to Jesus. Faithfulness is all important. Paul is saying, I want to present you faithful to Jesus Christ. And so it causes me to step back and say to myself and ask myself, am I being faithful to Jesus Christ in my thinking, in my mind? Am I being faithful to Jesus? See, listen, if I stop and judge myself right there, am I being faithful to Jesus in my mind? I don't even have to talk about where my hands go. I don't have to talk about where my eyes go. That's not even an issue anymore. Are you with me, everybody? You can't say, well, you know, I didn't do anything. I didn't do that. I'm faithful to God. I didn't do that. Do we have to go through this again? Jesus said, even if you've not committed adultery with your body, if you've thought about it, you're guilty of it. So what? Yeah, that's how God sees. He sees everything, and he sees our hearts. And we want to ask ourselves this morning, are our hearts faithful to him? Are our minds faithful to him? What do I allow up here? See, with this mind, I would be brokenhearted if I'm walking down the street holding Lisa's hand and she's thinking about other men. Well, who would know that if she doesn't tell you? God knows that. And he has a way of ratting out on people. You know what I'm talking about? Imagine Jesus, we're espoused. Jesus says to us, we're engaged. But you keep flirting. You keep flirting with that deity over there, Porsche. You keep bowing down to Porsche, the ancient Greek god. Or you keep bowing down to that massive statue, the ancient Nordstrom. And you say, I would never do such a thing. Yeah, but you know what? I'm just saying, if I spend more time thinking about Porsche or Nordstrom, or let's be fair, the 99-cent store, the great 99, I worship you, 99. If it doesn't matter what it is, but if it vies for loyalty in our minds and in our, where do we park our minds during the course of the day? Is God saying to us this morning, that's what I'm talking about? Are you faithful to me? Because let's be honest, we could even be thinking about benign. You know benign things? Benign. A thing benign would be, I need to make sure that I mow the lawn today. I got to make sure I mow the lawn today. And that's all I'm thinking about. Friends are coming over. I want them to think my yard looks great. So I'm going to mow the lawn today. And I'm even going to hose down everything and make it a little sparkle. And then when they show up and they say, well, what a nice yard. You go, what, this? What? Oh, it's nothing. It's like, oh, no, really? Keep talking about it. But no, really, no. Yes, no. Are you what I'm saying? I take something as benign as grass and turn it into an idol that occupies my thinking. When Jesus should be the one that occupies your thing. You say, how does that really work for real? God, thank you for the grass. Lord, it's your grass. These are your trees. And Lord, help me to have a right balance. Have me to give you praise and honor when I think about it rather than, ooh, getting all goofy about it. It's pretty bizarre. So the word present here means this. He's saying this. I want to bring you out. Look, I want to publicly and openly exhibit you. Isn't this sweet? It sounds kind of sick, unless you're looking at the context of the Bible. Paul says, I want you to be presented, openly made known, publicly. We would use the word witness, would we not? To stand beside or alongside you, to listen, to transfer you. Now we're starting to see the marriage pictures here. To transfer your hand to another. Listen, the word means to present someone unmolested, undefiled, to forward them onward. Think of the father walking down the aisle and presenting his daughter to the groom. It's exactly the presentation. He's handing her over to another man. Have you ever had to do that? Raise your hand if you've had to do that. To present your daughter. It's the worst thing in the world. Even if your daughter's marrying a great guy, it's like, rat. It's just the way that it is. This is your girl. You've raised her. And what do you... You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking exactly like Paul. Listen, I didn't know who my daughters were going to marry, but I had a pretty strong clue that they're going to marry somebody, statistically. It was my job to make sure that they were intact on that day. Well, who is the guy? I don't know. Isn't that weird? It's 30 years from now. Think about it. When the baby, before the even baby, the baby's even born, you're thinking about, man, this kid's going to come out. We know it's going to be a girl. Man, if the Lord doesn't come back, she's going to marry somebody someday. Where's that guy? Who is that guy? What's he doing? Where does he live? Right? And it's a huge dynamic. And then you're walking down the aisle. I got to tell you. Don't tell anybody else. I got to tell you. The thought was there. They're engaged, all the stuff. Getting then there's stuff all over the house, and there's things about, okay, here's the wedding, the date's printed up, and the flowers are in the thing, and the dress, and all this stuff. It's like, it's a reality. It's like the second coming. There's warning signs. And as a father, you're keeping it in. I got to tell you, I'm not joking. Until my daughters moved out of the house, I tucked them into bed every night and prayed for them from the day that they were hatched, from the beginning. And so that, I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks, tucking them into bed, sometimes they were sleeping, sometimes they were not. And I'm telling you, just in a lump in your throat. And I'm thinking, Lord, come back now. And it was just, the last 2 weeks, I left their room. I cried every night like a little baby. I cried, and it was just, and then the day of the wedding, coming down, the presentation, to present her to another man, I'm walking down, I didn't know how I never did drugs. I'm not into drugs. I thought, man, I should take drugs that day. This is not a good day. But no drugs, God blessed, and you walk down the aisle, and I'm thinking, I'm going to pass out. And they open these doors. They were married here. They open the doors, and they start, their arms start shaking. And you're like, oh, man, I got to be strong. Because I was planning on leaning on my daughters going down the aisle. Bring them right down up here, right down the middle. Boom, right there. And then you go like this, and it stinks. And then something happens. It's like, you know what? This is supposed to be. This is God's thing. And then after that, man, after you cross that line, it's like, all right, this is all right. I was fine after that. Lisa was weird after the wedding. I was weird leading up to it. And afterward, it's like, okay, it's done. That's good. Let's go. We got the house to ourselves. This is awesome. Presenting. The word chaste means untouched, innocent, kept clean. Of course, the context is your faith. Have faith in Jesus, no one else. To be a virgin, what do you mean be a virgin in the context? Pure faith in him alone, biblical faith in Christ. Chaste. No false doctrine floating around in your life. Get away from that stuff. I'm dead serious about what I'm about to say. I know I look like a dinosaur, and I'm going to sound like one in a moment. Tough. This is the truth. Stop reading stupid books written by men who don't even know what they're talking about. Yeah, but you know what? This guy said this thing and it's got a million hits on YouTube. Do you understand? The internet has allowed insane people to have global access. They used to be in hospitals. Now they're online. I'm serious. Well, you know what? ABC News said they're insane. It's a horrible world because you need to ask the person personally. I have two friends that are being lambasted right now in the news. Big time. David Benham's a friend of mine. Are you watching this HGTV thing? He's a friend of mine. I know him personally. David Benham. Don't look him up. Now you're in church later. Him and Jason are being completely lied about. Completely lied. I know these guys. But people are commenting and they don't even know them. I know them. And they're being lied about. Oh, no, but see, people don't want to know that part. They want to know the juicy part. But what if it's not true? It doesn't matter. It's just juicy. We are nuts as a culture. Where's the truth? This is vital. Doctrine, things, stop, listen, read your Bible. Listen, I would be so happy, seriously, I'm not joking, if you went deaf today and you couldn't hear a word I said, but instead, you just started reading your Bible, and you couldn't hear what people had to say. Do you know we might be better off? Imagine that. Imagine if every book in the universe evaporated, and you just had the Bible. Read it. What are you afraid of it? Are you afraid of it? Well, the Bible. I don't read the Bible. Why? I know why you don't. It'd change your life. And so people avoid it. It's a pathetic day when a Christian avoids the Bible. You know what? They're going to be swept away. But the warning is here to the church, to the bride of Christ. You're being presented someday. Make sure when you come down that aisle to meet Jesus that your faith has been in him alone. Oh my goodness, church, don't you realize that the day he looks at us in the eyes, he's going to look at us in the eyes and he's going to know. We don't have to say anything. In the very silence of God, the question will be, I'm sure, embossed upon the screen of our minds. Have you been faithful to me? What are you going to say? I have to say no. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not dabbling into Mormonism. I'm not dabbling into Buddhism. But you know what? I don't have to go any further than I kind of dabbled into me a little bit. I kind of thought that I could handle this. I kind of thought I could do this without God. I kind of thought I knew better than you sometimes, Jesus. You know what's amazing? I think my head on that day when I'm presented, as it were, my chin's going to hit my chest. But I know this, that the Lord is going to reach down. I know this. I just know this. He's going to reach down. He's going to grab my chin, and he's going to pick up my head, and he's going to say, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And it's with loving kindness that I've drawn down you down this aisle. He's going to pick my head up. The Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Someone say amen to that. Amen. Isn't that good news? That's good news. That was not even in my notes, so that must have been from God to you today. And then it's the word virgin. The word means sheltered or guarded one. Someone kept unmarried, undefiled. In the context, a virgin daughter. It's beautiful. It's beautiful what he's saying. Doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived, think about it. You put your faith in Jesus, and you have virgin faith in the Christ that you will someday imagine. You read Bible prophecy, you read the book of Revelation, there's going to be a wedding. The Bible says it's coming. And the bride of Christ will be presented to Jesus. It is going to happen. And the Bible says that the bride of Christ is the church, made out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation of people from the world. For the last 2,000 years, how cool will that be? A montage of humanity that had this one thing in common, one name, Jesus. Savior and Lord. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. What does that mean? Jesus Christ died on the cross to appease the demands of the law, because I couldn't. I couldn't keep the law. That you may be married to another. To him. Yeah, who is he? Him. Who was raised from the dead that we should bear fruit to God. How beautiful is that language now in the context? Revelation 19, verse 6. John says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunderings.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called With This Mind. It's a multi-part series taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. With This Mind is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that if you missed any of Pastor Jack's TV programs, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, all you got to do is visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then simply click on the button that says Watch. There's a list of past programs. Just click the one you want, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.